that quarterback, number 19.
All right, everybody, welcome to the seventh episode of the fourth season of Six B's and a B. I'm your host, Brian Costa, here on AquaBearRevolution.com, joined by a bevy of a bushel of buds from Fairborn, Ohio, Chris Poland.
Hey, hey, hey.
In his living room next to him, via satellite, on the Pierogi Mountain Fresh Egg Fresh line, Randy D.
Hello, hello, hello.
People. And then in studio with me, I'm the big spoon, he's the little one, Brian Wiebe.
Ranch me, bro, Tendo.
We're going to try to make you laugh, cry, feel better, and then probably wonder why you listened to all that. As the Browns dropped a 2-5, is it really a surprise to anybody? But they lose to the Rams 24-6 in a game that I barely remember watching.
I watched it with you, and I barely remember that experience.
Yeah.
I did not watch it. I was working.
There you go.
But I've seen two highlights.
What were they?
Todd Gurley running for a 20-yard touchdown or something like that, and
jumped
Josh McCown. And, of course, Josh McCown running face first into a wall.
What happened there?
I got blocked.
Well, I heard... Well, I liked a comment by Luke on the 6B1P Facebook, which he said, I don't see why he can't stop when he's running so slow.
It's a good point.
Which I thought was good. I mentioned that to a friend, you know, as telling him this is something said about this that I think was funny. Corey, who told me about Joshy football, and he said that what happened was he got to that cement portion right there, and that if he tried to stop, he'd just slide and probably look even dumber. But I don't know. That's kind of hard.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I do remember that happening, and I told me and Chris Bull had laughed heartily at it. And I told you, Chris, I was like, he's hurt. We were both like, he's hurt. And I was like, man, if I was him, I'd pretend that I'd go back out there and pretend like something else hurt me. That's exactly what happened, I
right,
think.
We were bummed out because that brought up a fourth down, right? And you said if it would have been a third down.
Yeah, they kicked a field goal.
He could have faked an injury.
Yeah.
So,
well, it did look like he got just beat to shit. I do remember one other highlight where he threw it, and right as he did, somebody sacked him with a helmet to the armpit.
Ooh.
And that looked horrible. That was one thing that worried me too, is I know the Rams, you know, mediocre team, we're going to get into all that, but known for their defensive line, their front seven is very expensive and known for hurting people.
Their fucking defensive coordinator is that Bounty Gate asshole. Mm-hmm. Greg with 2 G's. Not acceptable.
Yeah. He put a bounty on McCown's armpit.
See, the thing that's crazy about it is I didn't watch the end of the game. And unless I'm reading this wrong, McCown was 26 for 32. Does that sound crazy?
You kidding me? No, I'm pretty sure that's accurate.
Yeah, 26 for 32 for 270 yards and no touchdowns and no interceptions.
He's not the problem. The team is just terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not great. He's not going to, like...
Yeah, but the rest of them are really bad.
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of like, maybe in some respects, puts, Hoyer into perspective, you know? Like, I think, I don't know. I'm sorry, I'm just trailing off. I got nothing there.
Is this a team where the second best offensive player is Gary Barnage? I think it is. Josh McCown's the first, man. You know? What the hell?
Yeah, Gary Barnage looked like a total badass at that one point when he went down and his helmet was knocked off and then he got kicked in the face. When he got up, Like, yeah. The shot was like a profile shot and a single drip of blood, like, running down his jaw. He looked like a Wolverine cover.
He lost a tooth, Chris Pullman.
He looked awesome, though.
It was great.
He probably, like, was like, this is totally like Wolverine 2, a movie I really like because Hugh Jackman's an up-and-comer.
It kept me entertained all the way through.
Randy.
Yeah.
So Gary Barnidge is this year's Browns no-name tight end.
Uh-huh.
And he's got a blog where he reviews movies.
Oh.
And it's awesome. We talked about it last week.
It's hilarious. And it's
hilarious.
What's his favorite game plan movie? He has a whole list of favorites. It's amazing.
Scary Movie.
That was one of them because he loves the Wayne brothers.
Sure. He didn't. Wayne?
Nope. No, Wayne.
Wayne.
Yeah.
Nice.
He liked. He described one of his favorites was Armageddon because it's a. Wow. A cast of a lot of famous actors stopped an asteroid was his one-sentence summary of why he liked it. Or something to that effect. It's just ridiculous.
Gary Barnidge, we'd love to have you on the show. 101 Yards.
This is another really good one also. This is a repeat of The Passion of the Christ. Loved Mel Gibson's interpretation of Jesus' last 24 hours. Very graphic, but hits the point.
Yeah.
Hits the point.
Yes.
The old point.
The Jesus point.
Barnidge lost a tooth and had to have his lip stitched up, too, because he's kind of a badass.
I do love him. He's great.
But he didn't catch a touchdown for the first time in a couple games. Do we need to... That McCown thing was amazing. I feel like we need to talk about that for another minute.
It's the one part of the Browns that I've seen.
Slides.
Yeah.
It's a good...
Well, I don't know if you could say slide. He does, like, a weird, goofy top step into the wall. Like, he just keeps going.
And he fucked himself up.
Yeah. I did, you know, a couple thoughts. I watched that GIF that I sent you guys today of it. It just started laughing, even though it was the 100th time I'd seen it, probably, or, you know, 15th time. And, I don't know. It reminded me of, like, a poorly acted scene in a movie, you know? And I've said it a ton of times, but the Browns do just beg to... They need, like, a major league made about the Cleveland Browns. And a scene like that would be in it, you know, where it's like your journeyman quarterback, your Dennis Quaid, if you will, runs into the wall, and the whole crowd is just like, oh, boy, this team. But then, you know, he convinces, you know, Gary Barnidge to believe in himself, and...
What was the one with Keanu Reeves as the quarterback?
Necessary Roughness.
Yeah.
No, it was the replacement.
Sinbad's in Necessary Roughness, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
That's Scott Bakula.
Yeah, that one's fantastic.
For the record, I feel like that's the second time that movie's come up this season.
Yeah, I watched it about a month ago on Netflix, so...
Probably came up then.
Maybe we need the Gary Barnidge hot movie corner or something where we...
Yeah, we're going to have to do that.
I just like that he has a blog, you know? Like, that's what he does when he goes home. Like,
trust me, he doesn't spend too much time on it.
Okay.
And I think it's teamed up with some other guy, too. Some other guy he played with on another team. That's not a Brown, I don't believe. Dante Rosario.
Ooh, never heard of him.
I think he's an aspiring actor.
Anything else about this game? They sucked, man. I don't
care
about it anymore, really.
I did. I picked up Travis Coons this week, and he probably scored the only fantasy points that Aiden Brown scored. So.
Dave does hate when we talk about the fantasy. I say continue talking.
I still lost, so.
I think we could talk a little fantasy. We canceled that whole segment that Dave didn't like.
Our alternate teams.
Yeah. Wheels.
You got rocked this week, didn't you, Costco?
Shit is bad news, dude. It's bad news.
Well, I mean, there's no winning when somebody scores 140 points and still has a couple people left to play. I mean,
yeah.
That's ridiculous.
And I traded Gordon Mark Ingram for Andrew Luck.
Yeah. I'd say most of the time that'd be a good trade.
Andrew Luck is going to... Has anybody... there was a couple things that weren't on the Browns I thought were crazy that happened this week. Andrew Luck breaking down was pretty wild.
Yeah. He's not quite right.
Hoyer playing again, too, I saw.
Yeah, they got the shit kicked out of them by the Dolphins. Uh-huh. Like, it was 41-0 at halftime.
Yeah, that was the other players that my fantasy opponent had, was Jarvis Landry and Tannehill, I think. Or Lamar Miller. It was all Dolphins. God.
Yeah, I mean, you can't beat somebody scoring 148 points. I mean, just not happening.
No.
And he'll probably score, like, 0 points next week or something, you know. Not zero, but...
Yeah, might get three.
Yeah. There's a ebb and flow to it all somehow, some way.
Well, see, that's the thing. Like, I felt like the Browns definitely seemed to deserve to lose this game at the score they did. You know, whereas, like, other weeks, maybe it's sitting too close.
Yeah.
But the Rams aren't... What's a good segue into... Let's make fun of the Rams. Do you guys have any songs? Where the fuck is Ian at?
I don't know.
Is he the song man?
Yeah. He is. Let's make fun of the Rams.
That's pretty good.
There we go.
Rams are, again, I think this is like a continuing theme, better version of the Browns. But they suck. Nick Foles?
Come on. Well, it all seems like that's a team, like, much like, you know, I think a lot of us try to hope that the Browns are going to be good, like, in the preseason, you know, or... Yeah. We have an increasingly shrinking window every year, I feel like. This year, I feel like maybe was the least hopeful. We're just kind of like, yeah, maybe they're probably about the same, if not worse, you know? But I feel like the Rams do a better job of, like, you know, they've got, their defense has actually got some pretty solid players. They draft some unexciting running back in the first round, and he actually turns out to be good. Yeah, like, and trading, you know, like, Nick Foles sucks, but I take him over what we got right now.
Oh, so. God, yeah, our shit's a dumpster fire, man. That is also on fire again.
Yes. The poop that ate itself.
The Cleveland Browns 2015, the poop that ate itself. But anyway, we're supposed to be making fun of the Rams.
Oh, yes. That bad move. Let's see. Oh, one. This is really making fun of them, but I do think... do you guys think Eric Hedrick looks at all like Nick Foles?
Foles. Totally. I said it to Chris Poland.
You did.
Confirmed.
Dildo. All right.
Yeah, that's hi, Eric Holmes out there. Eric Holmes, that's not the right person. Eric Hedrick out there, quarterback in your team.
There's an office I've been in and out of for work recently, and there's someone there named, a woman named Erica Hedrick.
Mm. Close.
I'm thinking maybe a little Tootsie Action's going on.
That's the feel of high heels. Fuck the Rams, though. Seriously. Yeah. There isn't even that many people watching that game. I heard their team's moving, which does kind of suck. Yeah, we've been there.
Yeah, I think this is maybe our most sympathetic fuck the other team segment.
I kind of like the Rams more than I thought about it. You get rid of Nick Foles, I already admit I'd like as my quarterback. And their defense is tight. And I'm looking at this roster name.
Yeah. I like the what I like to imagine is a brotherhood of Benny and Justice Cunningham.
Oh yeah.
They sound like, you know, hardy boys.
Yeah.
Benny and Justice is,
yeah, Benny,
it's
and
a good
Justice
pairing.
Yeah, yeah.
Jolon Dunbar.
Johnny Hecker. I am going to talk a little shit. Case Keenum. Come on. That guy sucks. His name sucks.
It's just Case. Just
quit.
Is he their backup?
He's, yeah, I guess. I don't know. Who? I wonder who they're... They probably got another... He can't be a backup. Nobody. Sean Mannion? He's a rookie. I guess he is a backup.
Oof. I like that. Janoris Jenkins.
It's good. Janoris Jenkins.
Hope that is good.
gotta hope Nick Holes don't get hurt, man. You're gonna get a whole heap of fucking Case Keenum. Case Keenums.
He's terrible.
You're gonna get Keenum all over.
What about Nicktoon? Nicktoon is great.
Nicktoon?
Yeah, I do like that one.
Nick.
Battle, yeah.
How can you,
What?
I didn't think you could be a practice squad player as a fourth-year player. I call, you know, we gotta look into this at the league level.
Nicktoon!
Here's a question for you, and this is an overall football question, a little change of pace. Looking at the league as a whole, you know, there's all this shit about, like, what's a catch anymore? Have you seen any of these plays where it's like, the determining if a guy has possession of the ball, and it all started in the playoffs with Dez Bryant. Are you guys familiar with this at all?
Somewhat.
Well, you know, it's been like, what does it, if a football player catches it, does he need to take 2 steps, 3 steps, you know, does he have to hang on to it? All this kind of shit.
Like, how long is it till you have possession?
Exactly.
Right.
And I don't know. It's led to some really terrible calls this season, but there were really terrible calls for the same reason last season too. But then, like, and this is really only kind of fired me up because it screwed me over in fantasy. But Cam Newton's my quarterback, right? He throws the ball to a former OSU player, Ted Ginn.
Yeah.
Ted Ginn catches it, takes 4 steps, is tackled. As he's tackling it, another guy punches it out of his hand and catches it. And they called it an interception. And there was this whole controversy, like, was he down, was he not? So they challenged, you know, it was reviewed. But they still called it an interception. And to me, if a guy catches it or has it in his hands and takes 4 steps, that's a fumble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that screwed me over. But also, too, just like that whole thing where it's like, it seems to me like it wouldn't be too hard with as much money involved as there is in football to, you know, put some, like, tracking chips in the ball so, like, every time the ball's spotted, it's actually accurate. Use something other than 2 guys with sticks and a chain in between to measure first downs. Like, all of this could probably be done very easily, like, with some sort of, like, electromagnetic tracking system set up in the stadium above the field, you know, like... It seems like there's too much room in the league for human error and manipulation. And I'm not sure if that's good or bad. You know, I think that's sort of a debate among fans. What do you guys think? Do you think they should make it the fairest game around, or do you think this sort of human element is what makes it interesting?
I find both the tinkering with it all the time also confusing. Like, I watch college football all the time, and every year I find I am learning the rules, or yeah, there will be some rule that I'm like, oh, really? Like, that's interesting. Didn't know that. And then they try and throw in, you know, like, you know, I don't know what they're doing in the review booth that takes them so long most of the time. Because it's what I don't understand is that it's obvious when you're watching it. And they, you know, slow it down from the 4 camera angles that the station has. Uh-huh. And then it'll be like 10 minutes later and they'll be like, no, interception. And you're just like, did you watch that? I mean, it would be one thing if they made a mistake on the field when they call it. But like, on the review, just unacceptably bad percentage. Like, you should be batting 1,000.
Just like Mike Carey always being wrong.
I was just going to say, man, I just want to get Mike Carey out there to be the floating hologram of incorrectness.
That is a catch!
And it seems like it's a very poorly run operation for that sort of thing to occur unless it's intentional, you know?
Sure.
Unless the league's just trying to make everything confusing, because if they're confused, you just sort of accept being dicked over repeatedly.
Got too much money the rules.
And it's just like, you know, calling into a big corporation to try to get help, you know, where you get passed around from person to person. It seems like that sort of level of just like, well, if we waste enough of your time, you'll just give up and give in.
I think they have a lot of people also, like, nobody wants to make that call. Like, the stage is too big. You know, sure, that you're just like, oh, you know. It's kind of like, remember when they called the flip wrong in Pittsburgh years ago? And like, just, all that is just nobody owning up to it. Like, oh, yeah, right. Sorry about that.
You didn't know what heads look like on these wacky coins we got to use?
Yeah, I don't know. Why can't we just use a quarter, you know?
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of that going on. you know, they don't. Nobody wants to be bad.
Hmm.
What would Mike Carey do?
That's the way of the world, though, right? Like, I don't know. Seems like people would rather be like, it's not my fault. I don't know how that happened.
Huh?
So speaking of things the NFL is doing or not doing, it seems the Johnny Manziel saga is a little bit deeper than we originally had thought. And
oh, God.
Which part of the saga? I don't know if I'm up to date.
I think when we did the show last week, there wasn't anything about him possibly hitting her.
Is this the incident on the highway in a car or something?
Yes.
Correctamundo.
Gotcha.
And it just seems weird to me, though, because at the same time, I feel like if he wasn't like Johnny Manziel, they would have, like, NFL would have probably already stuck their nose in, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I heard something that he, like, held her head against the window. You know, and but it also seemed like she was, I don't know, I don't want to be like the Johnny Manziel. It's just, it's all gross, you know, like, those sorts
of
things.
Are they still together?
They're still together, and they had like some, like, it was just a stupid argument, you know, and like, that's the thing too, is like, they're both 22-year-old idiots, you know, like.
Rich idiots.
Yeah.
Rich idiots, and they were drunk.
Like, I'm not making, I don't want to make excuses for either one of them. They both seem like idiots, you know, like.
It's okay. TMZ will tell us what happened.
Yeah. The other, did you guys hear the bit about, what's his name, the overpaid white linebacker dude we got?
Yeah, the narrow down. Paul Krueger?
Paul Krueger, the Krug.
Driving by, the guy with the Bon Jovi hair.
Yeah, he drove by, he not only drove by, he stopped. And he told the police that Johnny shouldn't be with her. Which I thought was hilarious.
Like, he was just around? And was like, oh, that's Johnny.
Yeah, like he happened to be driving by, and then he stopped, asked if he could help out, and told the police, you know, on the record, that she was no good for him.
No good for Johnny.
Which is just like, I don't know, it's like totally a scene out of like, Coach, what's Coach Taylor? Friday Night Lights.
Yeah. Like, my sister lives in Avon. We should go hang out there and see what we can drum up.
Yeah. Just kind of get on, work the beat.
Work the beat, check the side of the road.
Yeah, when's the last time you saw like two cars pulled over and they're both, you know, I'm sure they're both awesome, you know, Ferraris or super sweet cars.
I bet Krug's got a big old truck.
That could be true.
That guy is pretty ridiculous.
Yeah. He's you know, I'm hating on him, but he's alright, I guess. He's one of our better players. I just, you know, for our defense being paid so much money, he's not that good.
Yeah, he doesn't seem very good.
It seems like he jumps off sides at least once a game.
It's true.
Speaking of, I haven't told any of you guys this, speaking of running into famous people, I happened to walk by them. I walked, like, I was about probably 4 feet from R. Kelly.
Yeah?
Yeah, like a week ago. He was just in front of a hotel in downtown Chicago by the Miracle Mile, you know. That's
a lot, one might say.
Yep, he was just waiting on the side of the road. He may have been smoking a cigarette, I don't know, but I was just like, he looks familiar, and it was R. Kelly, and I just gave him this kind of confused look as I walked by. He looked at me the same way, kind of like,
what? Who the fuck are you? Normally I don't do this. I don't
want you to off with a little taste of the remix. Yeah.
Sorry, Oliver in the studio, everybody.
Sorry, I just came in to laugh at your R. Kelly story. I think that's great. Hi, guys.
Hey. I do feel like maybe should I have gone? I don't know. I was like, kind of think R. Kelly's a piece of shit, though, too. You know, like, he did, like, do terrible things that are, you know, well.
Peed on a little girl.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he did more than that, though, I'm pretty sure.
Well,
did he poo on a little girl?
There's a whole article by.
Well, Columbus would be if he had pooped on a little girl.
Do you know Jim DeRogatis? That guy does Sound Opinions. It's one of the more popular, like, music shows on public radio. he wrote a whole thing when R. Kelly performed at, like, Pitchfork of being like, don't you guys remember he's, like, basically a serial, like, rapist, essentially? So, I don't know.
He's the urinator.
I like Ghost Dad. That's just a joke.
So, and Manziel might end up playing Sunday if Josh McCown is still hurt from
running. He's embroiled in some issue, we got to check the tape and see who got the closest to the Austin Davis.
Yeah, I have a feeling, guys, that Austin Davis is going to show up a lot sooner than we think he might.
Yeah.
So, like, is Manziel, like, suspended or anything? Or is it just, like, there's just some...
They're looking into it.
Yeah, they're going to have a meeting with him.
And he's been like, I'll cooperate. I got nothing to hide, blah, blah, blah.
So I take it there's no video of this.
No, but there's some damning, like, recordings of the interviews as soon as the cops show up.
Mm.
And then that just gets into the situation of who's telling the truth and will they tell the truth now, you know, like, kind of thing. Does it even matter?
I mean, that's the thing, though. Ray Rice had that video from the elevator. That was pretty wild.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that this, if there's photos, yeah. I mean, and that's clear with, you know, what the way the big names that have been suspended for these kind of terrible actions have, you know, how it's played out. Like, if there's a smoking gun photographic evidence, they're screwed. Like Ray Rice or, to a lesser extent, Adrian Peterson. But then you have people like Greg Hardy, who, you know, seems like a real jackass. But, yeah,
good jackass.
He was able to hush everything up or whatever, so he's back in business. Right. I don't know.
Let's do some news and notes quick before we go to break. Ian, cue up that theme music.
News and notes.
All right, replacement Ian. Once again, Brian Wiebe, on the verge of having his first child, is here covering Ian with better news and notes music, honestly, than I've heard all season. So first, news and note.
I think we invented news and notes in his absence, though, to be fair.
He's going to come back and not even recognize the show. We've had him once in the last month, I think.
And I missed that one. I missed the Luke episode.
So, Brian Wiebe, Randy Demidovich, and Chris Pollan, Sherry Oliver in the studio asking questions in case anyone's wondering what I'm doing. So, Wiebe, baby update.
Still no baby yet. She's having contractions occasionally. I don't know, semi-frequently, but not the... seemed to be a little stronger today, but it just, I don't think she, you know, clearly we don't feel like it's time yet.
Right.
And there's just like, I don't know, when you're in this situation, everything that's a sign of labor is also a sign of false labor.
Right.
So, there's just no,
where do you think you're going to be when it happens? Where do you think you're going to be?
I don't know.
You got a bet?
Nah, probably here would be my my apartment. But yeah, I do. That has crossed my mind if I'm like on like a film shoot or like teaching my class or something. If I'm gonna get like a message, be like, I gotta go.
Happening.
Somebody, hey, you cover this. Hey, I gotta leave it.
You're like bounding up the sides of buildings.
Yeah. It's one of the few times you're just like freely allowed to drop whatever the fuck you're doing. Like, no, you can't get yelled at that hard. You know,
yeah,
I guess you're doing like a heart transplant or something, like somebody be angry, but like most anything else.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. That'd be crazy if you were doing a heart transplant while your wife or husband was in labor.
I don't think they would tell you.
Do you like how he said, or husband? It would be like, it would signify that there can't be a lady doctor. But what I forgot is that you cannot give birth.
But it could be a lesbian couple.
Ah, right.
Boom.
Boom, Brian Wiebe saving my analogy. Very nice.
We are a... we love everybody here on the show.
Yeah, all of them. If you like 6B and a P, we like you.
Yeah. You
know, if you don't like us, I mean...
I'm just a guest.
Shout out to the LGBTQ community, the 6B1P fan base. Maybe you stumbled onto the show because you thought it meant something else.
Yeah, the P sex move.
Yeah.
It's Visual Motorboat on Twitter. That's what...
All right, so also this past weekend we had the Aqua Bear County Fair, which made me tired and made my back hurt really bad. It was fun.
Just got a breaking news update. Laura Dixon is sending me a bunch of texts with pictures of her cute kids. So babies all around, everybody.
There it is.
Big shout out to Freya, the Sopko baby. She's super cute. And I gotta say, like, it is like a drug where it's like, is Frey going to come over this week and make me feel all happy for an hour? That'd be great.
Brian Weeby.
I don't know. Little happy. Cute babies, man. Cute babies.
Cute babies are just getting Brian Weeby. The B in our show stands for baby.
6 babies and a P?
Yeah, 6 babies and a P. I also find myself...
It's
our you know,
Kelly story.
Much more easily moved by things about, you know, like sick kids or something. Can't even watch them right now. It's terrible.
Yeah, you're lit right now.
Yeah, somebody posted one about, they called it like the butterfly boy. His skin falls off if it's touched.
Oh, God.
And I watched that and just cried and cried. Oh, my God.
What if I have a butterfly baby?
It wasn't even that. Just this kid. I just can't even imagine, you know. Can't even imagine people who have just such shit luck. I mean, you can. We're Browns fans, right? But, I mean, it's trivial compared to things like a condition that makes it just excruciating to be alive. And yet you still want to be somehow.
I had very terrible and mixed feelings about those, like... two-headed girls on the...
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, I reacted terribly to that and then felt guilty.
Yeah, I watched them back in college. Lori and Dory.
Kind of reassessed.
That was pretty fucked up. They made them sing shitty country songs.
Oh, yeah. It's terrifying.
Yeah.
My mom saw them at the mall.
That's stuck in there forever now. That's terrible.
Yeah. She seemed kind of shook up by it, you know, just kind of she didn't say like that it was gross or anything. I just think it like made her very sad to sort of think about people having to live with that, you know. And,
that's why I say they shouldn't.
It happened to me.
Were they just going about their business shopping, or were they there?
Yeah, I think they were just at the mall to do their thing.
Who sells those sweaters? That's terrible.
They were circling. Were they circling the mall, provoking fear?
With their entourage or something? No, I think they're just looking for some pants, probably.
Looking for three-legged pants. I don't know, Siri. You gotta say stuff louder if you have a question that I'm gonna respond to.
I was watching a Seinfeld episode the other day, and there was something about freaks in it, and then it got me thinking that Larry David's rich history of calling out freaks on his various TV shows is hilarious.
We watched a little bit of Seinfeld the other day too. I love it, man. There's a lot of Seinfeld. Watch the episode with the Jimmy.
There's so many good ones.
So, what else? Halloween. That's this weekend. Are you guys dressing up as anything?
No.
I don't want to, but I have to go to the Halloween thing at work. So
But your costume's great.
Yeah, you do have a good one.
What is it?
Can't tell you on air.
Ooh.
I think you could get away, too, with just being like a... like drawing in like a beard, like a hobo beard, you know, like.
Right.
And just, I think you should go for hobo sometime. I think that would really be hilarious.
A hobo. I was a hobo 1 year.
I think the two of you would make a good hobo duo.
Yeah.
We should be.
I've always pictured Costco as a bumpkin.
Bumpkin.
I could be a bumpkin. A doughy bumpkin.
Like hillbilly hobos?
Can we be hillbilly? No, I don't think we should be hillbilly hobos. That might be offensive. The hillbillies and hobos. Did everybody leave the podcast?
No. Are hillbilly hobos tramps?
Better costume.
What did you say, Weebs?
Are hillbilly hobos tramps?
Probably.
I've always been confused
by that. Yes, tramps and thieves! We could just play that song.
Like, why does tramps mean, like, you know, like a wandering guy or a slutty woman?
Yeah.
It's weird.
Slutty woman or a wandering guy.
Patriarchal society.
That brings us to our break from this. 6 B's and a P. You're going to hear something. I don't know what it'll be. Probably, it might actually be just audio footage of Ian lifting weights at the gym because he keeps sending it to me. I'm not sure why.
In a moment, we'll see how the offense and an improbable defense came together to spell champion after this.
Some money on.
It's a championship town. We're going to bring the world championship back to Cleveland where it belongs.
And Channel 3 gives you the best seat in the house as we bring you every Browns game the rest of the year. Plus, highlights and interviews on Action 3 Sports.
You've got a friend.
The Browns' rise up the ladder of the upper echelons of the National Football League has been engineered not only by quarterback Brian Sipe, but by a dramatically improving defense. Now, the high-powered offense, of course, characterized by the versatility and surprise with the outstanding running of the Pruitts and others, as well as the aerial show to all the fine receivers, the Browns are obviously hard to stop.
Hi, this is Ernest Byner, former Browns player. You're listening to 6 B's and a P on Aqua. BearLegion.com.
So, from reading the thing, it says, Randy on rooting for winning football teams. Because my football team's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's mainly because of you, Weeby, calling me out. Saying I'm not an alumni.
You're
make
not.
The point that you never lived close.
Wait, we gotta save this. What? We gotta save this fire
Randy's
for.
Energy. Are we starting?
I don't know.
Have we started? I don't know.
I think Randy started it. I think we're just right into it.
You gotta bring us back in, Randy. You gotta say, what is it? All right.
All right. I don't remember what I said though. That's gonna be troublesome.
Go back. Fix it in post. We're going to talk about this in a second, though, but you are listening to 6 B's and a P, and we started talking about it already. Randy hasn't been on. I don't think Randy's been on since, like, the first episode.
We got all wasted in a house. I think I probably had a couple, like, yeah, or something like that, you know.
Also, a trivia note, Randy was also on the Sometimes the Bear Eats You special episode, the day that Osama bin Laden was killed.
Yep, that's true. I fucked that one up royally, constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Osama and Obama are too close. Both Muslims.
So, Randy, besides being one of our dearest friends of the show, is much more into college football.
That's true.
Not so much in the NFL.
It's not rigged.
Well, it's sort of rigged.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, you're right. It's whoever can hire the most prostitutes generally wins.
Generally
the rigged pool.
The prostitute to win scale is perfect.
Yeah.
But yeah, you root
I grew
for
up going up to OSU games with like my family. We had like season tickets. So always went there. Then was over at your house this past weekend and heard Weeby call me out when I came back in from smoking a cigarette.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, I think Costco called you out, too.
I might have missed that part.
You missed the part where I called him out.
He brought into the fold. But I still hold him, you know, he grew up in Lorain, you know, which is the only place that makes Cleveland look like lovely, you know. So. He had something to root for. That was the closest geographic team.
Right.
You, however, Weeby, I've never lived geographically close to England, ever. And you live in a major city.
But he married into a Browns family.
Yep, Randy, your argument is my argument, ultimately.
Yeah.
And I think, fair enough, I was totally wrong. I get it.
I grew up that way. It was my thing.
Brian, I grew up without a hometown team, Randy.
The Browns took you in, Weeby.
My family moved me.
Yeah.
But you didn't but I don't know. A Browns fan, bro.
I'm shocked you're not a Cowboys guy. Weren't you in Texas at that era of?
Yeah, I think it's maybe Cowboys just my contrarian nature. I hated the Cowboys then, and I actually rooted openly for the 49ers in that time period.
Nice.
Their best rival. Nice. Got dirty looks from 50-year-old men.
Did you have a starter jacket?
No, I had a Zuba's hat.
Nice.
For some reason, I always thought Zubas made pants, but why would they?
That so makes... had in there. Randy.
I was trying to get the full-on Zubas outfit, but Mom shot it down.
Randy, who's your favorite college football team, OSU?
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to win it all this year?
Oh, I think they could. It's been a really weird year in college football. There's been a bunch of, who knows what's going to happen. Like, there's not been very much consistency. I mean, OSU's undefeated, but, they haven't looked good by any means. But there's been, just crazy weird upsets every week that you're just, or somebody wins by, 1 point in overtime that, it should have been a blowout. It really doesn't make much sense. It's been great, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a little more entertaining. That Browns-Rams game, I wish I hadn't watched it.
Do you think I also wanted to point out earlier, though, that Randy's love of college football, I think he was the first person who told me about Johnny Football.
Yeah.
Because he said he was an amazing, broken play player.
He was. He has an amazing sports reel.
And I just feel like, I mean, that's the thing that's always all along made me think he should be the Browns quarterback, because he could just run back and forth.
Yeah, scramble.
And maybe make some miracle happen.
Well, I think you're going to see him this Sunday.
Against who?
The Cardinals.
Yikes.
We might see Austin Davis too, guys.
Yeah.
And Thad Lewis, I realize, plays for someone else's team, I think.
Yeah, he does. But I think he's going to come back with the Browns.
Well, they're going to need to get a couple quarterbacks if one is hurt because he ran into the stadium and one is punching his girlfriend.
Is Connor Shaw? He's done for the year, right?
Yeah. Randy.
Yeah.
Who's your upset college up dog to upwatch? Randy's pick.
For this next week?
I don't know, sure. Or the whole year.
Oh, somebody's going to come out of nowhere.
Like an RKO?
Like an RKO. I think probably a surprising team going for Ohio teams is Toledo.
Nice.
Surprisingly good. They're ranked in the top 25. Who would have ever thought?
Do they
Toledo.
Come
I think it's Toledo.
I lost my train of thought.
Do you think Cardale Jones will play quarterback for the Browns?
I don't think you want him to, but maybe then again he'll end up being awesome. I don't know.
He's been a disappointment so far this season, right?
Yeah, I mean, he has miraculous, just natural talent, but he didn't seem to, hone anything down. I think he was just that's pretty much as good as it gets for college. Might as well coast out on this one.
Yeah.
Because he can, from a standstill, I think there's a video of him throwing it 70 yards from his knees.
Yeesh.
His arm strength is ridiculous. But he's, I don't know. OSU's just looked sloppy. They've beaten everybody. But,
I've put forth the proposition on this show before that the Browns' only way to turn it around is to become just take everybody from OSU. Like, try to make the Browns like OSU part two. Because there are people who enjoy Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming off a high of being a, you know, perennial powerhouse. And they could live right in between and have a hoe in every city.
Yeah.
I got a hoe in Mansfield. And a hoe in Delaware. So you think we should pay more attention to that instead of our sets?
Well, you know, I turn out happier about football every year. Sure. That's a bonus.
It is a bonus.
But are you only happy with national championships? Like, are you like, if they beat Michigan, it's a good year? Or, you know?
Yeah, you want them to win every year. You know, it's like I'm excited now that there's a tournament in college. I quite like that edition. So, you know, every year if they make it to the tournament, awesome. You got a shot.
Yeah,
it's not like
Rice picking your teams.
Yeah, that still weirds me out quite a bit, but still.
What weirds you out? I missed it.
Condoleezza Rice picking the college football playoff teams.
Huh.
Yeah, that's a really weird crew that is assembled for no reason.
Like, Illuminati, Randy.
It could be
lizard people.
Yeah, yeah.
Aliens.
It might be conspiracy.
Speaking of reptilians, cue up that theme music for Interesting Browns of Browns History.
Interesting Browns of Browns History.
That's pretty good, too.
I liked it.
So this week's Interesting Browns of Browns History is none other than a name you've heard before, my friend, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. But I'm not talking about the basketball player.
Or is it Abdul-Jabbar?
Well, later on, he became Abdul Kareem Al-Jabbar.
Ah.
Because he got sued by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Didn't he do that?
Yeah.
He spells Kareem differently.
He did, but it didn't matter. And get this. First off, his career as a Brown is forgettable. So we'll talk about that for like a second in a minute, okay? But motherfucker went to UCLA, same school as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah.
And wore his number.
But played football.
Yes.
I remember him from college. I actually, Randy, watched college when I was a kid as well, more than the pros.
Yeah.
Was a, like the Notre Dame as a kid.
Yeah.
For some reason. Not just the rich history of the Golden Helmets and the Rudy like, football.
You were a fan with no home. You went with the team with no confidence.
Right.
Yes. Ryan Wiebe, the Notre Dame of.
And, you know, grandparents in Indiana, so, you know, was familiar with Indiana. Felt like I could call, you know, claim those teams if need be.
Well, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. But was sued, as I mentioned, by the actual Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in 1998.
I'm calling out the real one. That's a dick move.
Like, yeah.
You can't, like, claim a name, you know?
Filed a lawsuit against Kareem with an I, this is the Browns player, stating that there were too many similarities between the two. In the lawsuit, Kareem, the basketball player, listed that they both attended UCLA, both wore 33. He felt that the Kareem was making profits off sponging off the name and number he made famous. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar the Brown said that he chose 33 as his uniform number, not because of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, but because of former Dallas Cowboys running back Tony Dorsett. Then changed his name, 2000.
Yeah, fuck you, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar original.
Yeah. Dick move. You don't have enough money? All those.
Abdul Kareem Al-Jabbar is a pretty tight name, though.
Better name.
Way better.
Yeah. He played with the Browns in 1999, the first year the Browns were back, a forgettable squad. Ty Detmer was the quarterback for a little while. But what's funny
from
is...
BYU. Remember him playing in college, too.
Yeah.
He was
this
good.
This guy's stats weren't too bad. In 1997, he had the most rushing touchdowns in a season. He tied with... Terrell Davis. There you go.
Yeah, just enough to cash in on the Browns dime and then check out of the league.
Get that guaranteed money and shit a brick in Cleveland.
Yeah, he was the Dwayne Bow story as well.
God,
that's what it should become. Somewhere over the Dwayne Bow is like when successful football players decide to cash in Cleveland and quit trying.
Yeah. Who else is in that category? Jeff Garcia?
No, yeah. I think he still tried. I think he just sucked.
Jake DeLome.
Who was the guy who was the Ravens running back, and then he had like one good season with Cleveland, but then his feet were dipped in cement?
Right?
Yeah.
Jamal Lewis.
Oleg McGay is another prime example. I mean, he was a good player at one point in time. In fact, good while he was on the Broncos, and then Cleveland picks him up and he masters the Leahy full ahead for 1 yard run. Leahy, I think I called him Leahy instead of McGay, whatever.
Leahy works.
Either way, we know who he's talking about. Who else? I mean, I feel like there's been a bunch, like Ben Tate. Remember him?
Mm. Oh yeah.
That was just last year.
Yep. Seems like a long time. That's something I said to my friend Corey Powers, because he's a Bears fan, and they're shitty. I think they're worse than the Browns this year, honestly.
Yeah.
And I already felt like it's been a long season.
So, being someone who lives close to Cincinnati, right, and also remembering their terrible, terrible runs and picks and drafts that went nowhere, what did Cincinnati do that the Browns didn't, considering their records this year?
It's tough. I think that's one of the things that's so hard for me as a Browns fan with when the Bengals do this, like are really good in the regular season, is that I can't really figure it out. There's a couple obvious things. Like, Andy Dalton gets a lot of shit, but he's a fairly competent quarterback. Like, much better than anything the Browns have had since they've been back. And also, A.J. Green, he's really good. Like, that's better. I mean, the Browns had the Josh Gordon thing for a year, but Josh Gordon put up those crazy statistics, and the Browns still sucked, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just feel like there's something. But as a Browns fan, it's tough because I can't figure out exactly what it is.
I think it's got to be having the same coach for, like, 12 years.
Marvin Lewis for...
I mean, I don't think he's a great coach, but I think if you're doing the same thing forever, you can learn and build.
Continuity.
Yeah. And, I mean, if you think about it, too, some of the bigger successes last season were on the offensive side. And we didn't have consistency there, but yet it seems like, again, this season the offense is... arguably the better of, it is the better of the two, but not saying a whole lot there, obviously. But
no, I mean, that's the thing of it. It seems like the offense to a degree is in like, and now being 2-5, the Browns at this point, like, you feel like it's just in this holding pattern. Where like, what do you do now? Like, it's not gonna be.
But I guess I also don't. It seems like there's this whole group of like, who was the? Is it Rex Ryan who? What's his name? Came up under Patton.
Uh-huh.
Where they're like, we play defense and run the ball. You know, like that's there's a specific breed of NFL coach where that's their game plan, you know? And to me it just seems sort of like, I don't know, like, but then the defense is terrible. So if it's all, I don't know, what you came here to install is a total failure. I don't, you know, it's kind of hard to see keeping him. It's just weird to me that it always seems to happen with, like, Shurmur was brought in as an offensive guy. Offense is terrible. Defense does pretty good. Chudzinski's brought in as an offensive guy. Same thing. Then we get Pettin, and offense is decent, and defense, which is supposed to be his specialty, and what the Browns' specialty as well, suddenly shits the bed.
The, at least... Another team that's worse than the Browns, which maybe will be a segment that'll come up later in the year, I think it's important, is my former team that I was also paying attention to, the 49ers.
Yeah.
They're a fucking shit show. And they have this coach, I think his name's Rick Tomasula, Mike Tomasula.
Mike Tomasula.
Yeah, you need to look this guy up.
Yeah, he looks like a real piece of shit.
listen to some Dan Le Batard stuff online occasionally, like sports podcasts and stuff, and they do a segment of people who look like things, and they said the other day that Mike Tom Sula looks like the guy your mom dates first after the divorce.
That's a very good description.
Like, he's got, like, a gold chain on and, like, his shirt's open.
A lot of rings.
Wearing sweatpants all the time and, like, slippers outside. Yeah.
All right. Could be, like, a Trailer Park Boys character. Like, yeah, somebody's uncle or some shit.
There's a sketch of him looking like Carl from Aqua Teen.
That's pretty accurate, too. Pretty
genius. Yeah.
Brian, you're doing a good job. Cue up that theme music for the tweet of the week.
It's the tweet of the week.
Very nice. What do we got here? First, we got a couple regular tweets. And I don't know if you guys had any Bernie ones that you lined up. I have a couple, but you know, we always like lots of Bernie tweets. So while I read these first two, Brian, Chris, Randy, if any of you see any Bernie tweets, I'll give you first go.
I don't see anything on the outline.
I know, I didn't put them in. I just took pictures of them on my phone.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. There's a couple regular tweets. One has nothing to do with the Browns. It's from Adam Schefter, who's an ESPN NFL reporter. Updated. Lions' new offensive coordinator is the team's quarterback coach, Jim Bob Cooter. That is a real thing.
Why wouldn't you just go by Jim?
Or James.
James Cooter?
Cooter's bad enough to precede it with a Jim Bob.
Jimmy. Jimmy Cooter.
Jim Bob Cooter.
James Coutier.
It's pronounced Cooter.
Terry Cooteri?
What?
Terry Cooteri.
Another tweet here, Dogs of Nature, Dogs by Nature retweeted from Ken Carman, who's a host of a sports radio show up in Cleveland. Ken in Cleveland on line two, sorry ass Browns are a waste. And then he puts, and away we go, right after the game yesterday. And a question to all of you that I want to pose to you with our last non-Bernie tweet, Dogs by Nature also tweeting, outside of quarterback, if you could improve one aspect of the Browns, what would it be, Brian Lee?
Defense. Is that it's got to be more specific, or is that enough?
I think that's probably good. Is there a certain position you think you start with?
I don't know. Defensive end, I guess. No pressure on the quarterback, not enough.
Yeah. Chris Pullen?
Everything except kicking and punting.
Randy.
I'm going to go with kicking and punting.
I like it. You do have a really good punter.
For now.
Andy Lee. The so Australian, Andy Lee.
Andy Lee. Bernie tweets of the week. Did you guys find any? I have a couple.
No.
First one. Johnny is 22 years old. That's what an organization should teach him.
What?
Yes.
What does that mean?
Means Bernie was
right
drunk.
Below that. Right below that. And this is all like one big run-on sentence. Spaces. If Josh McCown is leaving field now to get looked at in medical room, can I scream to Johnny F-Ball?
Johnny F-Ball is pretty great.
And I scream to Johnny F-Ball to warm up. Practice a couple throws. I love the calmness which it ends. Practice a couple throws is all like lowercase. Okay. And one more from Bernie, my favorite, where he just tweets out at Bob Golic. Those are your tweets and tweets of Bernie tweets of the week. And they, again, they're in honor this year, correct, Chris? And
sure.
Forevermore.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Pretty funny. That one of Bob, the Bob Golic one's pretty good.
In honor of my family friend, Rupert Bernie Burnham.
Bernie Burnham. So, Cardinals next week, one of the best teams in the league. Absolutely no chance.
This is a solid week for injuries for you guys.
They all are.
That's, yeah, we haven't had a rough week. We haven't had lots of players.
It's all bad.
We got Turban.
Turban, Brandy. We got Turban.
We got a Crowell and a Turban.
Crowell took a shot to the rib bones. Yeah, they're going to lose probably, I would imagine, in Arizona. And then they play the next Thursday, November 5th, against the Bengals.
I do feel like the Cardinals are coming in. It's 3 losses in a row.
Really? Let's make it 4. Carson Palmer, there's a Marvin Lewis success story right there.
Sorry, I had some shit going on my computer, so I probably just sort of talked unintelligibly for a second. I feel like when I was like, hey, they just lost 3 in a row! I had some other video playing in my ears, and I don't know, it's very confusing.
Hey, you covered well.
Okay.
Glad to have you back.
Yes.
All right. So, yeah, what do you guys think? Can they win? I mean, they go, is there, I don't know. Cardinals and Bengals, two very good teams.
Probably not going to happen.
Yeah. I might not really watch next week. It's my birthday on Sunday. Oof. I might go do something else.
But then what if it's great?
Yes. You never know.
Johnny F-Ball might kick it. Do awesome.
Big event home. Johnny F-Ball.
F-Ball. I like even better. Jonathan Q. F-Ball. Because he is an F-Ball. Let's be real here.
Getting looked at in medical room. All right. Well, we'll be back here to talk about it regardless of what happens. Send us some ideas of things to talk about that aren't just how bad the Browns are. You can find us on Twitter at 6B1P. That's the number 6 letter B, number 1 letter P, or as Ian calls it, letter 6. Hopefully he'll be back with us at some point, but I kind of like Brian Wiebe taking care of the music this week. Good luck to you and yours on that baby on the way. Randy, thanks for joining us.
Woo-hoo.
I'm going to pick a college football team now. I'm giving up on the Browns.
Yeah.
Chris, pleasure as always.
Absolutely, brother.
It was good watching the game with you this week.
It was.
And again, thanks AquamareLegion.com for hosting us. Thanks for Pierogi Mountain for sponsoring nothing, really, because those checks have not come, but all guests via the Pierogi Mountain Fresh Take Fresh line, including Randy D, in the place to be.
Suck it to me now.
Getting hand shandies. We'll see you back here next week. Go Browns!
Go Browns!
Hand shandies.